You ever feel like when you make it to this point, like, we made it. Like, ready or not, Christmas, here we're coming, right? I mean, there's all the gifts have had to be bought at this point. A lot of the food's already in the refrigerator waiting for tomorrow, all that kind of stuff. And we're just like, whew, okay, we can just relax and enjoy this. We can just relax and have some fun. You know, as Mike talked about earlier, and as Scripture sort of testifies, actually testifies, God has a purpose for everything. And that's one of the truths I love in Scripture, right? Because it means he has a purpose for me, he's got a purpose for you guys, but it goes further than that. Literally everything, every plant, every rock, every animal, he has a purpose for all of it. And so I kind of just begs the question for tonight, and kind of Mike getting shared the title of the sermon or whatever, but I want to talk about the purpose of Christmas. I mean, what is the purpose of Christmas? What's this all about? Why did Jesus come 2,024 years ago in the form of a human being? I mean, what's that all about? Why is this such an important event that you gave up time on Christmas Eve to come here and hang out with us? What's the purpose? And I want to talk about that tonight because the whole purpose for Christmas is actually why we're here celebrating tonight. It's the reason that we do give up time. It's the reason that we do put God first in this blessed time of the year. It's the time that we get all geeked up for the season. And the Bible tells us that God came to this earth 2,024 years ago for three huge reasons. And I want to talk about some of those tonight. So as you go out and somebody asks you, what's the point of Christmas, you can actually share it with them. All right, so it goes like this. The first purpose of Christmas is that Jesus came to erase some of the misconceptions that people had about God. Because the truth is that there were and there are a lot of false and crazy and flat-out bizarre ideas about who God is today. Is that fair? And the truth is, you've gone along and you've talked to enough people where you've heard a ton of them. Anyways, to sort of prove my point, the other day I actually Googled God, but it came back with 43 million web pages, and that was a little bit overwhelming. So I typed in the phrase, "What is God like?" And I just thought I'd share with you a few of the responses that I received. One guy said, "I like to think of God as the sun and myself as a ray of sunlight. The ray is the same substance as the sun, so really, I'm God too." Another guy wrote, "I like to think of God like my dead dad watching everything I do." It could be creepy or not, I'm not sure. Another person wrote, "I like to think of God like a sweet, tolerant person who is pleased with everything he sees in the world." So apparently also blind. Somebody wrote, "I like to think of God as a wise old woman." Think about that, the Shack book that was written a few years ago. And then a university professor even wrote this, "I like to think of God as some sort of gigantic balloon, like a giant brain floating up in space," to which I just say, yuck. Anyways, with all these kinds of responses, it's no wonder why people run away from God, are afraid of God, don't want to go to church today. And the truth is, just the reality of things is they don't know who God is. It's because they have all these misconceptions of what he's really like, who he really is. I mean, no wonder. And just from this random sampling of things that people think about God, I think we can take away a few, powerful insights. The first one being this. Anytime somebody starts a sentence with, "I like to think of God as," we can pretty much know it's not true. Right, at that point, they're just guessing. They're just making something up. It's just their opinion. And what's actually helpful, though, is not so much as, "I like to think of God as," but more so, what's actually true, right? What is he really like? And the cool part, because of Scripture, we don't have to guess. We don't have to make it up. It's not a subjective truth. It's an objective truth that God gives us in his word. It's because it is true. And so I'll just ask, and I know this is a countercultural question that I'm going to ask, but why is the truth so important? Because in the end, it's only the truth that sets you free. It's only the truth that gives you peace. It only is the truth that frees you from your past. It's only the actual truth that gives you a hope for tomorrow. It's only the truth that makes a difference. And so your best guesses are just never going to be good enough. And one of the craziest things that we do today, and this is because of how narcissistic so many people are, but people tend today to imagine God as the God that's most convenient for them. For example, I want God to support my lifestyle. So, you know, I like to think of God as that God who supports my lifestyle. In other words, what so many people are saying without saying it today is basically, I want a God who is a genie. And from Disney, we love genies, right? Three wishes, what's not to like about that? If it's the one of Aladdin, we get a best friend with it too. I mean, it sounds just awesome. In other words, we want him to be our servant, which is what genie was, and not vice versa. Interesting thing is, as you read through Scripture, it says that creation, Scripture tells us that God made us in his image. But it seems ever since, we busy ourselves almost nonstop with trying to make God in our image. In other words, when really pressed, we want to sort of designer God. We want to fit God in a little box, right? Where it's neat and compact and controllable, absolutely controllable. A sociologist actually wrote this the other day. Over 95% of all Americans still believe in God. The problem is that for so many of these people, their image or idea of God is distorted from what the actual Bible teaches. And so they come up with their own version, their own designer God, and they say, that's the one I believe in. But fortunately for us, God actually wants us to know what he's like, what he's really like. And so what did he do? Well, he came to earth in the form of a human being 2,024 years ago so that we could see firsthand what God was actually like, who he was. So you ask, well, how did Jesus blow up the stereotypes about God then? And how did he clear up all the misconceptions? And how do you erase all these false ideas? And he did it in two ways, by what he taught and how he lived. Notice the first two verses of our text tonight. It says this. Jesus said, this is why I was born and came into the world. It was to tell the people the truth. Ah, the truth. What a novelty today. So let me say that again. He came into this world to tell you the truth. And why, again, is the truth so important? Because it's only the truth. It's only true things that actually make a difference in your life, that actually heal and absolve and strengthen and give power to face the uncertain future. Notice this. I'll also say this. This is also a true statement. There's a lot of things you can learn about God just by looking at creation. I mean, it's called the natural knowledge of God. At least that's what we talk about in confirmation. But you can learn about his power just by looking at creation. You can learn about how smart God is, his brilliance in the midst of, I don't know, the way we work as a body, the way the solar system works, all the kinds of stuff. You can see his care. You can see portions of his love. I mean, the truth is there's so many things you can learn about God just by looking at creation if you just stop short and just evaluate it. But there are some things about God we only know because of his word. We only know because he sent Jesus. And if he hadn't come, we wouldn't know it. For instance, we wouldn't know about how loving God is unless Jesus came. We wouldn't know that there was a way to be reconciled with God or forgiven by God except that Jesus told us. We wouldn't know that God has a plan for our lives just by looking at nature again unless Jesus came down and told us. In fact, whether you're a Christian or even a religious person at all, and you came in here tonight and you could say, I believe that God loves me. The question is, how do you know that? The only way you could know that is because Jesus told you. So Jesus came 2,024 years ago, and he taught us that God is a loving and forgiving God, that he has a plan for our lives, that there's literally nothing he wouldn't give up, nothing he wouldn't do to save us. He came so that we could know him. He came so that he could show us exactly who he was. And that's part of the first, I guess that's the first purpose of Christmas. It's fundamental to understanding who our God is. It's important to connecting with the real thing. And then there's another purpose. It's kind of the big one that we usually talk about on Christmas Eve, and it's the big one for sure. And that's that he came to express the love of God. The other day, I saw this big sign in our neighborhood. It read this way, Jesus, he's the reason for the season. And that's absolutely true. The season is not about jingle bells, it's about Jesus. It's not about sin, it's about our Savior, which is why we celebrate it the way we do. But really, I was thinking about this the other day. There's even a deeper truth than that that I don't think we usually think about. Not only is Jesus the reason for this season, but did you know that you also are the reason for the season? That that's actually why he came. He came so that he could rescue you, so that he could save you, so that he could forgive you, so that he could help you. So Christmas is Jesus coming ultimately for your benefit. And so the truth is, if you didn't really need what Jesus had to offer, he wouldn't have bothered. I mean, the stuff that he went through on the way to the cross, the experience that he had, the suffering that he went through, the mocking, the hurt, the pain, all of it was just too much. The truth is, we would not be celebrating Christmas Eve tonight if you did not absolutely need what Jesus had to offer. But you did, and we do, and so the truth is from God's perspective, you were absolutely the whole reason for the season. Now, a lot of times during the holidays, we see these Christmas movies, and there's tons of them that come out every year, and some of them have this theme where God sends an angel of some sort or tells somebody a special message, or and it's cute and it's funny, but the problem is that at Christmas, God didn't send an angel, and he didn't send a prophet. He didn't send Santa Claus, and he didn't send an assistant. He didn't send a representative. And so at Christmas, he actually came himself. And that's sort of a mind blower, especially when we watch all these Christmas and holiday films, right? And we think that God would always have this intermediary. But on Christmas Day, 2024 years ago, he came himself. He came with his own presence to help us so that we could understand him and so that he could show us in no uncertain terms just how much he loves us. And I heard about this guy one time. He was always telling his girlfriend, "Baby, I would die for you." At one point, she just said this to him. She says, "You know, you're always saying that, but you never do it." And I share that because it's funny, right? But I was thinking about that. Why do you think she said that, do you suppose? And I think it's because it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to show it. It's one thing to say that you love, and it's another thing, quite another thing, to show that you love. In the Bible, we see that God didn't just say that he loves us, he showed it. The Bible goes on to say, God showed how much he loves us by sending his only son into this world, that we might have eternal life through him. And that this is real love, that God sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. In other words, God loved you so much that he sent his only son to show it. He allowed him to go through unspeakable harm to show it. He rose him from the dead again to show the victory, to show how much he loves us. And why did he do this? So that we would absolutely know its truth. Because not only are there a lot of misconceptions about God out there today, there's also a lot of misconceptions about what love is. My buddy was sharing this with me the other day. Apparently, he was watching a bunch of music videos. It was one of those countdown things, the top 100 love songs of all time or something like that. And he was going video through video through video, all of them. He said at one point he realized that so many of these so-called love songs really weren't about love at all. They were about lust. They were about self-gratification. They're about, "I need you, I need you, I need you," but that's not really love, it's neediness, which isn't really an attractive trait, or codependency, which even is less so. Or, "I can't live without you," that actually is defined as codependency. But love is really not about getting. I know that's kind of a mind blower right there. It's about giving. The Bible says the cool thing about God is that God loves so loved the world that he gave. And I think a lot of people miss that. The way you show your wife that you love her is you pour into her and you do things that you know are going to make her happy, that make a difference. There's things that you don't do because you know it's going to tick her off. And so you kind of change your life, you change your roles, you change some of the things you do because you love her. It's what you do that makes the difference. It's not what you get. Truth is, real love is about sacrifice. It's about where I lay down my desires and my preferences and my needs to help you. To help you become a better person, to help you become all that you can be. Love is about what you give, at least as defined in Scripture. And it says again that God so loved the world that he gave his only son as a sacrifice. And in sending Jesus, God showed how much he loved you by allowing himself and Jesus to be sacrificed for you on that cross. That's how much God loves you. That's how much you mean to him. And he would still have come to earth if you were the only one. Because Scripture tells us that he loves you, and he would do anything for you. And finally, there's a third purpose. He came to enable a relationship with God. In Ephesians 1, it says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. The truth is God's always wanted a relationship with you, and he wants you to get to know him so that you can spend eternity with him in heaven. And the truth is, he wants you to get to know him now so that you can experience eternity with him later. This is what the Bible says. If you develop a relationship with Jesus Christ here on this earth, you're going to get to spend eternity with him forever in heaven. And you're going to get to experience all kinds of amazing things, and joy, and no pain, and no sorrow, and no sin. But Scripture also says, if you don't get to know Jesus here on this earth while you're living it, you don't get to spend eternity with him in heaven. And you're going to spend it in a very different kind of place, hell, with a very different kind of person, Satan. God hates that. And so God has done everything he knows possible so that you can get to know him, even come into this earth in human form, so that through Jesus' death and resurrection, you could have forgiveness, which, by the way, this forgiveness thing is still the only way to be reconciled with God. I know I share this story often, but my buddy will always say, "Do you think God still cares about this sin stuff?" And I told him, I said, "Well, let's define sin. It's called rebellion against God, hatred toward God, distrust of God. Do you think God still cares about that?" And he goes, Oh yeah, well, if you say it that way. That's the thing that alienates us. And it's only Jesus that has given us this forgiveness. So Jesus provided that sacrifice by taking it upon himself before God. Truth is, in every way, God took the initiative and sent Jesus to you because he wanted you to know in no uncertain terms how much you matter to him. And I think that's exactly what he would want to share with you tonight, that you matter to him, that he knows all about you. He knows all your struggles, all your joys. He knows everything that you're going through right now at this moment. And he just wants you to know him too. And so he came in human form so that he could relate to him in Jesus Christ. He came so that you could be forgiven and saved and renewed. He came because he loves you so much, he wanted to have a relationship with you. Again, that's why he said, I came to light up the darkness in people's lives. And my prayer tonight is that you'd let him this year. If you haven't already, that somehow you'd let Jesus come into your life and forgive and heal and change it. And it doesn't mean you're a new person right away. It doesn't mean you start acting in different ways. It just means you have a different peace. And you have a different center. And you have one that's for you and not against you, always by your side. You have one that's reconciled you to God, and now you get to go to heaven. It's something that will give you strength as you go into tomorrow. It'll give you hope for a better next day or other side of whatever you're going through. It gives you the peace to know that you can actually let go of the junk of the past and you don't have to keep reliving it anymore. Let God make that difference in your life this Christmas, because that's why we're here tonight. It's to celebrate his love for you. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And you know, as we talk about Christmas, I think it's easy, Lord. It's Christmas Eve. We're excited. Some of us are opening gifts tonight. We're certainly opening gifts tomorrow, Lord. We're spending time with family and friends. It's a good time, and we're not stressed by the buying gifts anymore, except there's probably a couple of us that are going to stop by the mall later on. But most of us, Lord, that's all done. A lot of the cooking's been done. It's just time now to enjoy it. And my prayer tonight is that we let the spirit of Christmas, the fact that you love us, that you pursue us with your love, so that you can make a difference in our life. Save us from our past. Save us from ourselves and our sin. Strengthen us for tomorrow. Give us hope that you got us in the midst of hard times, that you can transform our lives so that we always have you by our side, so that we actually know what peace is all about. So Father, become real to us more and more and more as we go through this year, and become real to us tonight. And that's our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.